coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
In Crisis and with Christ, a mental health journey with Svenja Dollar.
In this information era, everyone has an opinion on everything. I rarely hear someone say, "I don't know enough about it to have an opinion on it." What I usually hear in place of this is, "I don't know a lot about this, but..." and then proceeding to hear their opinion. Their honesty allows me to judge how much weight I give their opinion in my life. However, on topics that are personal or sensitive, any opinions seem a little bit more weighted because neutral observation is difficult when you feel personally involved. Any opinions seem to make me feel as if they are talking more about me than the topic. And sometimes that hurts. Sometimes it's frustrating, and sometimes it's just plain bothersome. Today we'll be looking at those opinions, but more specifically, the advice given to those suffering with mental illnesses. The entry I chose for today is from January 10th of 2017. It was written after I was told by three different people to eat better instead of taking medications, to not take medicines because they are really causing me to avoid my problems rather than work them out, and that I should start running or exercising to lift my mood enough to actually make progress. All of that was in the course of about 18 hours. I knew that none of these people were malicious or really knew that they were so off the mark as they were. This excerpt from my diary is written as a way to express this frustration. So, let's hear it. People give me a lot of advice. Sleep more, sleep less, eat better, make happy notes to yourself, choose to be happy. Don't take medications, pray harder, pray more often. But my personal favorite is, why don't you try exercising? As if they think that all I do is lay there, swaddled in blankets and welcomed by Netflix, images flashing before my motionless eyes, when, in fact, the images flashing before my eyes are of my husband begging me to eat, to move, to breathe, while I'm doing anything but laying still, rocking my body, shaking my hands, fighting off my demons and my lover at the same time, as if they together are the looming threat of the death of my mind and soul, one affecting my thoughts, the other suffocating my skin. The same skin that I cut with knives 2 days ago. I am not a static picture. I am a candle flame, flickering, dancing, threatening to die out in my wind-tossed commotion, seeing images only in the shadows, casting them into shapes no one, not even I, can recognize. Living in a world of darkness when others only mention my light, the light that exudes from the hot, melting fire that lives only while the flame consumes its foundation. My foundation is set on things that I have learned. Puzzle pieces can be sharp enough. Butter knives can be used to cut through an onion when no sharper ones are available. My husband will hide all the sharper ones available. Hiding under a table is not only for children. Closets are too dark to know that you are alone. Dogs are the best things I will ever indulge in. Gin tonics are a close second. Why don't you try exercise? As if they believe endorphins will battle my demons better than God or love or my Wellbutrin. I pray thanks that they don't know how wrong they are, but I wish they did know, because exercising is not the answer. There are some caveats that I'd like to add to this entry. Exercising is known to really help those struggling with depression or anxiety. But exercising alone cannot cure the mental illness. And exercising definitely does not work for every case. In my case, I was struggling with psychotic depression. It was causing many symptoms of depression as well as having psychotic symptoms like hearing voices and the like. Exercising at that time would have disrupted my daily routines and put my body into a state of shock. Not extreme enough to make me faint or cause physical damage at all, but enough to be a new stimulus that I was not able to really handle at the moment. As I got better later on, I was able to handle more things in my daily routine and was able to start doing the things that would help me improve. Think of that situation as someone with a broken leg. They told their friend that the doctor said that they are going to lose a lot of muscle mass. The friend then says, well, running and squats are the best way to gain muscle in your legs. Calf raises help too. Well, the friend is definitely not wrong. Squats and running and calf raises are all great ways to gain muscle mass in your legs. The state of the person's broken leg definitely is not able to take that kind of stress and impact. After the cast is off, and a month or two of physical therapy, the person will definitely be able to start running. But the friend wasn't able to see the mismatch between their suggestion and the person's condition. Isn't that a little silly? Caveat number two. There is a difference between advice and opinions. An advice is a suggestion to be considered in light of the circumstances and will not necessarily be rote to turn down. An opinion, or just a plain statement for that matter, is seen to be the truth by the speaker. It is not to be considered. It's simply said to linger in the air and be built upon in conversation. An opinion is more of a conversational piece than a cooperative suggestion to be explored. That being said, opinions and statements of belief are not inherently bad. But it has been my experience that in this subject of mental illness, many people simply state their opinions rather than entering into a discussion that addresses the conditions and current status and the like. And that happens due to a number of reasons. The taboo of mental illness prevents a lot of possible conversations, to name one, and mental illness is something that is pretty personal. It's not like suffering from a sunburn or from the flu in the way that it affects every person in the same way. Those two reasons are, in my experience, pretty potent conversation killers. So, with all of this new information, where do people with mental illness and their supporters stand? Well, that answer is just as unique to the people involved as their illnesses are. But we do have some guidelines from our gracious Lord. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. To be rooted in Christ gives us a firm footing to lean on when we, though broken and weak, need to do the forgiving from a place of compassion. It may seem impossible to be the one in a position of offering forgiveness when you are already burdened with so many wayward emotions and the task of keeping your head above water, but when Christ is holding our heads above water for us, when he is the one you lean on instead of your own strength, forgiving those who aren't well-versed in the world of these mental illnesses comes much easier to us. That being said, it probably won't be easy. Easier, yes, but probably not easy. Advice and opinions are not something that you can really predict or make room for. They are pretty free-flowing to the despair of many who are sensitive to them. So, just as we learn to lean on God to help us stay in a state of compassion while struggling, we can also lean on him to explain to us how to teach. We are to teach through example, through kind redirect, and if needed, through hard facts. The National Institute of Mental Health is really great for this. As for those wanting to help, keep in mind the differences between opinions and advice, and know that if you are willing to help, be willing to be turned down if your suggestion does not help them. That is just as helpful as offering.
In Crisis and with Christ, with Svenja Dollar, we'll be back next week. please write your comments, suggestions or requests to info@lutheranradio.co.uk or visit Svenja's blog at svenjadollar.wixsite.com/she's lost her marbles. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.
Lutheran Radio UK.